Our next speaker gained experience in plenty of areas, like Sir Charles, and now represents a huge innovation, literally a laboratory 10 times the size of your house, if you've got one, but still smaller than the existing labs, which are bigger than supermarkets, in which power lasers and X-rays investigate macromolecules. Meet Sabina Botha. Botha, I seem to remember there was a very famous politician called that.
Yes, I am from South Africa originally. That's why I also pronounce my name Sabina, which is the South African pronunciation instead of the German pronunciation.
How would you describe your background in science?
So I actually finished high school in Germany, despite being from South Africa. And then I did my undergraduate at the University of Oxford in engineering science. And I specialized in biomedical and informations engineering. But I wanted to dive more into the biology side of things. So I then went to the University of Hamburg and did my PhD in biochemistry.
In German?
Well, in German and in Germany, yes. It's actually surprisingly hard to talk science in a language other than English. I've tried Afrikaans, it does not work. And after that, or during my PhD, I became very familiar with actual X-ray science. And having had the strong mathematical and physics background, I decided to pursue a postdoc at the physics department, Arizona State University, to learn more about data analysis for X-ray diffraction experiments. And after that, my current position is to be the lead of the data analysis team for the first of its kind compact X-ray light source that we're building here at Arizona State University. And with that, they made me a research professor here as well.
Wow. That's to show how you can combine different disciplines and different talents and how many women are leading the way. We've heard from Harriet, who is in the Keck outfit at Caltech. And how are you finding that combination of duties?
I think it's very, very important, especially in my field of work, because it's very interdisciplinary. So when I say I'm doing crystallography, I'm actually applying it to biological particles. And one of the strengths that got me into this position is that I had worked in a biochemistry lab. So I have a different appreciation for the amount of work that actually goes into making these samples. So the scientists, especially the biochemists and the biologists, really enjoyed collaborating with me because while they're experts in making the samples, when it comes to applying the physics, they often lack the knowledge. And that's where I then come in, and I can use my physics knowledge and combine it with my background in biochemistry to produce the results that they actually are looking for.
And we're sitting just outside the great building, representing huge investments for the future, and who knows how many different ways in which such information can make wealth, if you like, as well as happiness through health. But ways in which you are there combining things in a turbulent world, you're analysing the future as well to see where things are to lead. Do you worry sometimes whether you've made a punt in the wrong direction?
I do. I sometimes wonder whether ChatGPT could do my job. So I'm always very relieved when I have a problem that I'm trying to solve and ChatGPT cannot solve it and I actually have to do it myself.
Yes, I heard the other day of someone who's working on making new organisms from scratch with the DNA as controlled by AI. And I thought that combination reminded me of a certain novel. How do you see this sort of situation developing for many women around the world taking advantage of what's possible in science?
I think we've come a very far way in the last few years. So nowadays, especially in the physics field, it's still rather unbalanced. So there is still a very strong male dominance in physics, but they're more open to it. So they no longer, if you come in, see you as the, well, if I have to put it that way, the dumb blonde that just walked into the room. But there's a different kind of respect there, especially if they judge you by your work first and then put an actual face to the name after the fact, then they're usually very respectful and also give you the opportunities. I mean, I got, I don't want to say handed, but offered this opportunity because I was really good at what I did. And that was reflected in the actual position and also the pay that they gave me. And I'm very, very glad that I can live in a world where that is acknowledged and appreciated.
And this is a very famous university known around the world and used as an example by, I know, at least one big new campus in Australia as the way to go to be flexible, to give opportunity to all sorts of people who can realize it and really flourish.
Yes, absolutely. I personally believe that anyone should always be given the chance, and you should be judged based on your actions and not your heritage, because coming from South Africa, that also comes with a very, very negative connotation, especially when I did my undergraduate in England. I was sent there with a warning, a very big warning from my father: whatever you do, tell people you're from Germany and not from South Africa. Because being from a British colony with a very bad reputation for apartheid and race segregation, I was worried and I was scared. And I did tell a lot of people that I was from Germany. But being there, I actually learned that it really doesn't matter anymore, that they were able to see past that and actually look at me and judge me on the things that I was doing and that I was contributing to the field.
And work hard. Now, when I saw you walking around this giant laboratory with its amazing innovation of miniaturizing, on a big scale actually, but the biggest scale of the other more old-fashioned technique goes for kilometers, whereas this is within a couple of laboratories, rather more under control. But you were talking about the x-rays, the engineering machines, all sorts of stuff, the proteins, the biology. It's wonderful how it combines.
It is. I think that's why they make me do the tours, because it's it's the engineering background, the physics that I've learned, and also the grasp of the actual biochemistry that we're trying to study, that means that I don't just able to do one part of the tour, but that I actually can give the bigger picture. And another thing that it's also taught me, because I work in such an interdisciplinary field, is how to communicate the information that is required to understand the actual underlying concept in a way where it's also palpable to someone outside of the field where I'm the expert in.
And also bring the experimental evidence to put into the machine to analyze its shape and its structure.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we do here, and it's groundbreaking science, and we're hoping that one day we'll be able to do drug design, learn how proteins function, and maybe even go in more into the medical field, because the machine could have the capabilities, because it's small, it fits in an individual building. So if we can show that there's a medical benefit that could even help with early cancer detection or radiation therapy, then that's something that hospitals would want. And hopefully we'll be able to show that here in our basement lab.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Sabina Botha, Research Assistant Professor, Arizona State University, with a huge and miniaturized technology investigating tiny samples.